Hi, folks. Isn't God good? Wow. Just love His presence, don't we? Hey, how you doing? Oh, it's so good to be back again. 5 weeks. It's like your last week. Gosh. This year for me, we'd be my wife and I married in meetings. It feels like it's like a couple years, you know. Something's done good. Right? Am I right? So, you know, it just feels like I've been here like a couple of days ago. It's been 5 weeks. But, you know, the Father is so good, folks. I'll tell you, God's got a lot on His heart and what things He wants to do in us tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I'll say it again because I don't think you believed me that time. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, God's manifest presence, whenever He shows up, things happen. Yeah? Amen. We're believing God for miracles. We're believing God for healing. We're believing God to set some of you free. We're believing God to remove shame, guilt, all that stuff. We're going to believe God for His presence to come as He is right now, and do what He wants to do. Is that a good idea? You know what? It's so funny. This afternoon, I'm jet-lagged completely, so I try to get sleep whenever I can, right? And I was trying to get some sleep this afternoon, and I couldn't sleep. I just felt the Lord say, no, I want you to stand, and I want you to pray. Now, I love to sleep. Lest you think I'm so extremely spiritual, I love to sleep. You know, I haven't quite figured out how to do that in bed, you know. There's some great men of God who can actually pray while they're in bed. I can't do that for some reason. I guess because I fall asleep. You know, can any of you pull that one off? Pray in bed? You're good. You're spiritual people. I can't do that. I just fall asleep, you know. So when I was lying down, I just felt the Lord say, I want you to pray because I really want to do some things. And then I called him, you need God to heal you. Amen. You know what the Lord said to me? As a matter of fact, I was praying, going, just praying away. And then I went to lay down for like half an hour. And, you know, Joyce said to me, what time do you want to leave? I said, as late as possible. Right? And I went to lie down, and I'm just lying there, and you know, I felt the Lord say to me, He said, tell these people tonight that it's their faith that's going to heal them. Wow. Do you know how many times in the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus turned to that individual and said, your faith has healed you? It's amazing. Church, listen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. If we want to receive from Him, how many of you want to receive from the Lord tonight? Let me see your hands. Please. I just want to make sure we're in the right crowd, you know. You know what? You know what? You know what does it? Faith. Faith. And you know, if we don't have faith, guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing. I want to share with you a little bit of my journey over the last couple of months. My journey of hungering for more of God. Folks, do you know something? Do you know God only feeds the hungry? You know, if you're here tonight and there's no hunger in your heart, you need to be sitting there praying for it. Because He only feeds the hungry. God will only pour out to those who desire. You know that. If we're kind of sitting back waiting for Him to do something in spite of us, it's very unlikely it's going to happen. You know, God feeds the hungry. You know, He gravitates towards the broken. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What is it about Him that He just seems to love to be around us when we're in that broken place, that place of humility. Now, there's a difference between brokenness and you know, there's a difference between humility and false humility. You know that, right? You know, false humility kind of looks like this. You know, wow, you play great that guitar. You're just amazing on the guitar. Well, no, it's not really me. It's the Holy Spirit. No, it isn't. It's you, dummy. It's not the Holy Spirit. I've never seen the Holy Spirit play guitar. You know, that's false humility. Humility is simply to say thanks. You know, but I know the source of where my talent comes from. You know, humility is just being able to say this is exactly who I am. God loves humility. God is proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Are you following me here, folks? There are keys to receiving things from the Lord, you know. And He loves brokenness. He loves humility. He resists pride. But He gives grace to the humble. You know, I've often heard scriptures most misquoted, like, you know, money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. It's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. Right? And oftentimes, you know what? Oftentimes, there's pride that's in our hearts. Yeah? And that's the reason why we don't receive from God. Because there's pride there. God loves brokenness. What do I mean by brokenness? Do I mean somebody who is constantly messing up every single day of their lives? No, what I mean by brokenness is He loves that place of understanding that we need Him all the time, that we cannot live or move or do anything without Him. God loves when we rely on Him, when we depend on Him. How many of you know that? He resists pride. I think sometimes, you know, the church, we're praying against all kinds of spirits and stuff like that. I don't necessarily do that, but I think half the time it's God, you know, that we're praying against, because He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Let me just say this, folks. Take the place of humility tonight. Well, how do I do that, Curtis? Just say to your heart, oh God, whatever is there, whatever is in here that's resisting You, that's stopping the flow of Your Spirit in my life, oh my God, are You with me? Oh, yeah, come on, folks. We all have stuff, don't we? I got stuff. We all have stuff. No, I want to share a story with you. I went over to Lakeland and I had an opportunity to go over there. It's not going to be a long story. No one was desperate. You know why I was desperate? Because I found something inside of me that only showed its face when I saw what God was doing. You know, sometimes the Lord will hold a mirror up in front of us, won't He? And He'll say, whoa, take a look at yourself. Why does He do it? Is it because God just likes to hurt us? No, it's because He loves us. He loves us. How many of you know the reason you and I have been brought in to the kingdom of God is that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus? God loves us, and he allows these things. He allows us to see ourselves sometimes so that we can hunger to be like Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I don't know if you remember the last time when I was here. I touched on the fact that unbelief, and I want to make a really bold statement here. I believe that unbelief... I think unbelief is the greatest sin in the church. I think it is the biggest cancer that plagues the body of Christ, is unbelief. You see, the deal is, the only thing that pleases God, there's only one thing that turns God on. Only one thing. Faith. Well, no, I thought worship turns God on. What do you think worship is? It's an act of faith. You know, when Jesus comes back again, what is He going to look for on the earth? Wow. So when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith in the earth? Oh, boy. Will He find those of us who are reaching out? What is faith? It's the substance of the things that you're hoping for. The evidence of what you can see. That's what faith is. When He returns, He's going to be looking at us. Oh, God, I don't know about you, but that to me is a very humbling word. Don't you think so? Oh, Jesus, find faith in me, please, you know. Find faith in me. That needs to be our prayer. Oh, God, I want to be walking, I want to be living life of faith. Worship, because you know what? If I said this, well, that's impossible, please, God. Because what? Because I'm a fight. believe he exists. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, check this out. Check this out. So when we worship, we are lifting our hands and our hearts to an invisible and what are we doing? You know, if somebody walked in here and didn't understand it, they'd think we're absolutely out of our minds. Me prancing up and down, shouting and screaming my head off like an idiot. You standing there with your hands raised. I mean, like, what are we doing? You know, like if this cloud showed up, then maybe some people can understand, well, okay, well, there's something here, you know. Or if a 13-foot angel showed up, maybe, you know, people go, well, you know, there's this object there. We're lifting our hands in the air, there's nothing there. We got our eyes closed, we're singing, there's tears streaming out of our minds. Listen, we do those things by faith. And here's the cool thing about it. When we do it, God manifests himself. Faith pleases God because those who come to him must believe that he exists. Why do we lift our hands during music and all that stuff? Because we believe that God exists. And guess what happens when we believe that he exists? He rewards those who seek him. And what's the reward? Wham! His presence. That's the reward. Oh, is there any greater reward than the presence of God? You know, sometimes I think I'm crazy. You know, I'll just be worshiping like today. I'm telling you, I was just praying. I was just with him. And God's, his presence just came. I just lost it. I really did. I just fell apart. I just started crying. I thought like, it was like, oh God. You know, the deep things, you know, the Bible says deep calls to deep. Folks, listen to me. Nothing is going to happen if we don't press into God. We have to press in. Christianity is not passivity. It's about pressing in. Well, you don't know the day that I had. You don't know the life that I have. We have to press in to receive from him. Are you following me? Oh, there's such a reward when we take the time to do that. There's such a reward when we take our religious hat off and burn it. There's such a reward when we say, oh God, wherever I am, I'm going to touch you. I had an amazing thing happen to me a couple of weeks ago. I got to share with you. You got to make sure you're here Sunday morning because I was promised that I could preach a 2-hour message. So, got to be here Sunday. Oh, there's such a reward to the presence of God, folks. I'm telling you. Let me see those hands again. Those of you that need God to touch your physical bodies, your bodies here. Let me see your hands again. Oh, let me tell you, there's a reward to seeking God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Don't forget his benefits. Oh, well, we're not coming to God to get anything. What, are you crazy? It's like me saying to my son, you know what, son? I'm going to give you $10 to go cut the grass. He goes and cuts the grass. He comes to me and he says, where's my $10? And I say, well, is that the only reason you did it? Yes. Where's my money? As a matter of fact, I owe him $50 right now. Keeps reminding me of that all the time. Don't forget his benefits. His benefits. I'm after God's benefits. I am viciously after his benefits. Oh, we don't want to seek his hands. We want to seek his face. You know, that sounds so noble, doesn't it? I used to say it. I bet you could find tapes of me saying that with a religious quiver in my voice. I used to say it. Oh, don't seek after his hands. Seek his face. Oh, that sounds so spiritual. It's nonsense. We want his hands. Oh, God, my body's sore. I want you to heal me. Oh, God, my soul is a wreck. I want you to touch me. Oh, God, I want to see your power displayed. I want to see my neighbors come to you. I want to see my husband, my wife, my relatives come to you. That's the hand of God. We want to see God's hand move. I want to see your hand move at my workplace, oh God. I've got a bunch of guys that work for me. None of them are Christian. I mean, they really aren't. I mean, really, really, really not. I feel so unspiritual because I just can't seem to get through to them. That's surprising, eh? I'm believing God for his hand to move and touch them. Amen. And I'm going to see it. Oh, you're such a man of faith. Folks, you know, God's not looking for this much faith. He's looking for this much faith. Yeah? Are you following me? I think it's starting to break through now. Listen, we want the benefits of God. Forget not all His benefits. And then what does He say? What does He say after that? Come on, talk to me. He does what? He what? Oh, Jesus. Do you believe that? You know what? I wrote a scripture verse in the Bible. Do you want to hear it? Blessed is the one who does not think he will receive anything from God, for he shall get exactly what he expects. Oh, you sound like such a faith preacher. You know what, folks? I ain't no faith preacher. I'm just like you. But I know it works. Faith pleases God. The only thing that pleases God. If we expect to receive, guess what happens? You receive. Well, Curtis, but. Oh, those buts. Those big buts, I tell you. But I've trusted God and it didn't happen. Any of you there have been there? Come on, there'll be three of you. Wow, there's a room full of faith here. I've been there. I've been there. Oh God, why? You know, you've heard me share this. I share it because it's so dear to my heart. It's not dear to my heart, but it's raw. It's real for me. You know, I mean, we believed God for our child that everything was going to be fine, and we had God give us prophetic words over our baby and everything, and the baby died. Like, what's up with that, God? Praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Well, what about that one? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What about that one? Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. What about that one? I could go on and on and on, and so could you, and so have you. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I do not have an option whether or not I'm going to believe the Word of God. But that doesn't answer the question. There is no question. That's not fair. Maybe to you it's not. But He's God. And you know what? I believe when we see Him face to face, guess what? All these things will be answered. But what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say about healing? That God heals and His desire is to heal every time. Amen. That's what I'm going for. Faith pleases God. I want to read a story to you in 2 Kings. And I want to just take a look at it. And then we're going to see where the Lord wants to go from. Is this my water? Second Kings chapter 5. That's on page 411 in your Bibles. If you're using the Bible Jesus used. This is the story of Naaman the leper. I love this story. I really do, because you know, when I read it, when I take a look at it, I can picture every single thing that happens. It's so easy to picture it. And we're going to apply it to us, of course, because that's why we're here. And my desire is that God will minister to you through this, and I know He will. Now, in April, I got to share this really quickly with you before we start to read this. In April, I was at a place of desperation, really. In my ministry, or in ministry, in my life, guys, you know what? I've got to the place now where honestly, I don't even like the word ministry. Like, I have a ministry. I don't even like it, really, to be honest with you. I am just beginning to get such a hunger for Jesus. I just want to take Him everywhere I go. And when I don't, I feel disappointed about that. As I said to you, you know, I always do this. I always say, I'm going to tell you a story, and then I completely forget. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking through the mall, and I was with my family, and we were walking through a mall in Mississauga called Square One, massive mall, huge mall. And, you know, I had some bags in my hand. I was just walking through the mall, you know, just minding our own business. The kids went off somewhere. My wife went off somewhere. And I'm just walking along, and this guy comes walking towards me. He comes walking towards me, and, you know, like, if that's me, he kind of goes like this. And then he stops. So I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I was like, what the heck? You know, I don't know the guy. You know, what's he staring at me for? And then he kind of comes back to me. And he goes, I don't know what it is about you. But there's just something on you. There's an aura around you. And I just don't understand it. What's going on? I was absolutely blown away. I was like, I actually felt spiritual. You know what I said to him? I said, you know what? It's the presence of God. Right in the middle of the mall, everybody's streaming around. They thought we were weird. Right in the middle of the mall, I said, it's the presence of God. It's Jesus. It's God's presence. And then I laid hands on him right in the middle of the mall. He turns to me and goes, you know, there's always a reason for people meeting like this. Why am I sharing that with you? You know why? Because I trust and believe God for His presence to be on me. And that's what I get. I trust and believe God for God moments every single day. Remember that term, God moments? Remember I shared that last time? I trust and believe Him for God moments every day of my life. And you know what? He does it. Are you ready for another one? This happened about 10 days ago. I had to interview somebody for a job. So I like to go to Starbucks to do the interviews. And because there's no Cafe Nero in Toronto, there's an idea if you got one. You've got to bring one of those over. So I'm in the thing. And, you know, most of the people that work in the type of, you know, landscaping, you know, they're pretty rough guys, you know. And sometimes they not only, you know, it'd be great if they turned up late to an interview. You know, most of the times they just don't even turn up. So I'm sitting there and I'm drinking my coffee and this guy comes walking in. And I figured, well, it must be him. He went, got his coffee, sat down. So I, you know, popped up and walked over and I said, you must be Raymond. He said, yep. I said, I'm Curtis. I'm here to interview you for the job. He says, interview? I said, yeah, I'm Curtis. I'm from Echo Green. I'm here to interview for the job. He goes, I'm not here for a job interview. I said, but your name is Raymond, right? He said, yes, my name's Raymond, but I'm not here for a job interview. I'm telling you, I just stood there and I just stared at him. And he stared at me. I mean, you should have seen the look on this guy's face. He was like, what is about to happen to me here? Right? What do you say in a situation like that? I'm just as stunned as he is. But you know what? I recognize it. It was a God moment. It's the presence of God. Church, listen. I want you to be hungry. I want you to be in faith for the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life every day. Amen. I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, God has a purpose for us meeting today. And he looks at me and he goes, he must. And then he says, I'm going to have some great stories around the bar tonight. That's what he said. It was hilarious. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. Because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. I have a friend named Aram. He is, he's not a Christian. And he's quite a wealthy guy. And he swears more than anything you could imagine. I mean, you ever meet people like that? Every other word. I mean, if Aram walked down the street past your window, from the time he hit your windowsill and walk past, he'd probably say the F word 3 or 4 times. And he absolutely loves me. We buy some of our equipment off of him for our business, and he absolutely loves me. The guy's worth a couple of $1 million. About a month ago, I had a dream about him, And I said, I called him and I said, I had a dream about you. He goes, what? He goes, holy, I mean, he just, he says, what am I going to blankety blank die or something? I said, no, you're not going to. And I shared a dream with him, and he paused on the phone. He goes, oh my God. He says, you know, because the dream was that he owned a business and he's running another business. And he said, oh my God, you don't believe this, but that's something that's been in my heart to do. And I was like, yes, Jesus. Then you know what he says to me? He says, I want to go on one of your trips with you one time. He goes, if you're going to do any one of your speaking trips anywhere, and it's only going to be 2 or 3 days long, I'll go with you. That made my day, folks. Absolutely made my day. So anyways, Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. How many of you have read this story before? It's so cool, isn't it? I mean, here's this guy. He's an incredible soldier. He's a man of stature and a man who's highly favored. He's got it all, but he has a problem. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Verse 4. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. I love this. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See? He's trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Can you create that picture in your mind of this guy? His general, he's all decked out, man of great authority. But he can't deal with the major problem in his life. He has leprosy. But you see, the interesting thing is that I think God was after his heart. Because he goes to the king and the king says, well, you're a man of stature, I'm a man of stature. We'll go to the man of stature and get this thing dealt with. In other words, we're going to do this our way. We're going to try to make this happen our way in our own strength. But God had other plans. Folks, you know what? Again, it's a picture of humility, isn't it? Look at what he says. This is so interesting. Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Why do I have to go to the meeting tonight to get anything from God? I can get it when I'm at home. Why do I have to go to Lakeland to get anything from God? I can get it right here. Why do I have to go to Toronto? Why are all these people going to all of these places? You know, folks, God has to deal with pride in our hearts, doesn't he? Now, I got to tell you, let me finish sharing the story about this whole thing with me in Lakeland. You know, as a result of some of the disappointments that I've had with regards to faith, I found that, sure, I preached the gospel and I believed God for salvation. No problem. I know the gospel works. If you were to say to me, well, do you believe that God heals? I'd say, yeah. And I, you know, I had one or two sermons on healing. But you know what? Because of that disappointment that took place years ago, something was lodged on the inside of me that I don't know if I was really, you know, it's, maybe it was a defense mechanism. Maybe it was just, I don't know what it was, but a place of unbelief was lodged in my heart. Yeah, God can heal, but... yeah, I believe the Bible. Yes, I know that healing is in the atonement, but it didn't happen for me. Yeah, I know. Well, that's great. What a fantastic testimony. Well, Curtis, will you pray for the sick every single day until God... well, yes, but... and there's a place of unbelief that was lodged in my heart. And I want to just say to you, respectfully here, folks, maybe there's a place of unbelief that's lodged in your heart. And it's that place of unbelief that if we don't deal with it, we can't receive from God. And what I want to encourage us to do tonight is just open your heart. Just open your heart. Just say, okay, Lord, search me. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to a place of desperation about a month or so ago, and you know, it really came full, just hit me right in the face one Sunday. I'll never forget this, guys. One Sunday, I was standing at church, and they put the Lakeland meetings had just gone outdoors. I don't know if any of you know, it's just meetings over in America and people are getting healed by the thousands. I mean, incredible miracles are taking place. Just the kind of stuff that's going to happen here tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. Amen. I'll say amen. Amen. And you know what? You know, when they put it up on the screen, I just... something in me just jumped, you know? Just jumped. I was like, oh, God, I need to receive that. And you know, oftentimes when that happens to us, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's that God's just kind of holding the mirror up and saying, you know, there it is. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, Deb, I got to get over there. I'm not one to run to meetings. That's what I do. I do meetings. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm one of the last people to run to meetings. But you know what? When I saw something that I needed, listen to me. You need to see what you need from Jesus tonight. What do you need from Him? You know, that woman with the issue of blood, for how many years? For over a decade she was bleeding. And when she heard the Messiah was in town, she just went against all tradition. She didn't care. And she snuck up behind him, didn't she? She snuck up behind him and touched him. She went to doctors and they could do nothing. She snuck up behind him and she touched him, and Jesus felt something flow out of him. Why did he feel something flow out of him? You know why? Because she touched him with faith. And when we touch him with faith, when we trust him, when we touch him with faith, power flows out of him. But if we don't touch him with faith, nothing happens. And he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And she was terrified. She was scared. And then what was his remark to her? "Your faith has healed you." And I tell you something, when I went to Lakeland, I'm telling you, I mean, I know, you know, Todd Bentley, he comes around TACF, we know of him very much, but you know what? It's not him that I was after. It's not me you're after. I've got nothing for you. I don't have anything. It's him. That's who we're after. That's whose garment we need to touch. It's him. And I'll tell you what, folks, I went out to that meeting. We didn't have the money to go. I almost spent $1,000 on a plane ticket. I don't know why I'm sharing all this. I almost spent $1,000 on a plane ticket to go from Toronto to Florida, which is retarded, really, because it's like $100, right? But it was the last minute. I said, I don't care. My wife just basically emptied out a credit card, and we held hands in the basement. And she said, "I know you've got to go. I know you've got to get this from God." You know, there's every single reason that we could come up with why it's crazy to do something like that. It's every single reason we could come up with why it's we shouldn't trust God again. We come up with every single reason. Well, you know, my schedule, this, that, and the other. I don't have the money. We held hands and prayed. And I went. And you know what? I want to tell you something. Walked in the place. Music was so loud, I had to stuff my ears with tissue. You know? I like loud music, but that was really loud. And, you know, the sound man, I wanted to go back and knock him out, you know, but whatever. And I stood, folks, I want to tell you, I said, God, I am not leaving here until I get from you what I came to get from you. And I stood in the, I stood there, you know, they let us sit on the front row, and I stood there for an hour and a half, and I didn't move. My ankles were killing me. I mean, I just come from the UK and Iceland, got home, basically just left, you know. And my ankles were killing me. I said, I'm not moving. God, I'm not moving until you pour your oil into me. Oh, church, he only feeds the hungry. He only blesses the hungry. He only is physician to the sick. If we think we're already well, we don't even need a healer. I know I'm sick, God. I want you healing me all the time. I'm starving hungry for you. Even times when I don't think I am. Man, I stood on that line. I didn't move. Not the line, but it was the front row. And I want you to know, I opened my arms up to the Lord, and He poured His presence into me. I mean, three times in my life that's ever happened. The first time was in a church in Toronto. Second time was when I went to Pensacola, that I received something from the Lord. You know, I went to get something. And this time, I just stood there like this. I'm just, oh God, pour that anointing into me. I am going to believe you, Jesus. I don't know why my wife miscarried. I don't know why. But I'm going to trust you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When I come back again, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith in the earth? Man, I tell you what, Ray, God poured His oil into me, man. It was like fire. Never experienced anything like it. And I was just bawling my eyes out. I was like, oh God, I got it. Yes, you're so good. I was so happy. Because you know what another word for faith is, right? Risk. It's another word for faith. Risk. Because there's a possibility that you could be wrong. There's a possibility that it might not happen. Right? There's a possibility that you're lifting your hands and worshiping this invisible thing and nothing happens. But God rewards faith. Yeah? And folks, I want to tell you, my life has been changed. Why am I sharing this? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to believe and to trust God. Amen. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. I got to wash in the stinking, dirty Jordan. Not only that, but I got to do it more than once. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, listen, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as a man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. what happened? Humility. You know, some of us have been touched by God. And He touched us, and we were healed. And you know what? The pain comes back. Well, how do you know that, Chris? Because it happened to me. It happened to me about a month and a half ago in a meeting. I was standing right next to John and Carol. My wife was right there. And I've always had a pain in my shoulder. And wham! I mean, I felt the heat on my arm. Wham! The pain was gone instantly. I just flipped out. I was like, wow! It's gone! Wow! And you know what? About 6 or 7 days later, the pain came back. Any of you experienced that? And it's like, well, God, what's the deal here? Why does that happen? I don't know. I think there's a number of explanations for it, but I'm not going to give any. I don't know. But you know what? He had to wash 7 times in the Jordan before his healing was fully manifested. 7 times. You know, there really is no indication as to whether or not it was 7 times in succession every 15 seconds, or if it was 7 times once an hour, or once every, who knows? But after he washed 7 times, like, why 7 times? God, like, are you some sort of a masochist or something? You want to get the guy to suffer? 7 times. So he goes into the water. Comes out. Maybe dried himself off. I don't know. Goes back in again. 7 times before the healing was manifested. Maybe God was after something in his heart. I don't know. But all I know is he's the healer. And he loves to touch his people. God loves to minister his freedom to us. I want you to stand, please. Oh, Jesus. We're just going to go into a time of praying for you right now. Are you ready? No? Come on, guys. Let's wake up tonight. I think the Holy Spirit is really speaking to so many of you. He's speaking to so many of you tonight. It's wonderful. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord, just gently. Whoa! Yes, Lord. We are so in love with you tonight. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Wow. We worship you, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, would you begin to move through this place? Just minister your love right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, Jesus. More. More of your presence, oh God. More. Whoa. More, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want to lead you in a prayer tonight. I want to lead you in a prayer. Because I believe that there are some of us here tonight. You say, Curtis, you know what? This is the deal with me. I have unbelief in my heart. Maybe you felt God's disappointed you in some way or another. I want to declare to you, God doesn't disappoint. Wow. His word is true. His promises are established forever. Why did it happen? I don't know. But we're going to keep trusting Him and believing Him. That's what He wants. You may need to dip in the Jordan 7 times. I don't know. You may need to do it 75 times. We're going to stand in faith. But you know what? I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to ask you to just take a bold step for me. If that's you tonight, you're struggling with faith. You're struggling with really believing that the things that God says is true. Father wants to minister His love to you. If that's you, just quietly just come stand up at the front right now. Just come. Don't hesitate, folks. Let's just come and receive from the Lord. Remember, He only feeds the hungry. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. If that's you, I want you to come. The Lord wants to minister to you. Just come. Just come. Just stand before Him, folks. Just stand before Him. You folks, for your honesty. I just want to bless you for your honesty right now. For your honesty. For you being real with God. It's great. It's great. It's the first place. The first place that we need to come to. Can I get somebody to help me? Just stand behind everyone. Thank you, Father. Just know tonight, as the Lord just begins to do some surgery on your heart, that we're all standing with you. This is okay. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More of your Holy Spirit. More of your presence, Holy Spirit. More of your presence. Yes, Lord. More. More. More, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the change that's going to occur in our lives after tonight. Thank you for the change that's going to occur in our hearts as we repent. Thank you for the fact, Lord God, that you give grace to the humble. As we come, we humble ourselves before you. And you're going to pour your grace out upon us. Now, those of us who have come forward, I want you to just do this. Don't look at me, but I want you to just do this. You know where that disappointment came from or what that disappointing situation is. I want you to just right now, just to whisper to the Lord, just confess that place of unbelief to Him. Just do that right now. Doesn't matter. Nobody's going to hear you. Just talk to Jesus. Just talk to Him. Just talk to Him right now. Just talk to Him right now. Lord, God, I'm so sorry that I've not believed you. That I've entered into unbelief, mistrust. Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Father. And there's coming an impartation of power in a moment. Wow. An impartation of God's power in a moment. just make that right with Him. Just make that right with Him. Shh. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's okay. Yeah, just pour it out to Him. Just pour it out to Him. It's okay. Pour it out to Him. Pour it out to Him. Thank you, Lord.